Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, March 22nd, and I am reading from the New International Version. Today we pick up in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26 and I'll be reading verses 1 through 30. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. "But not during the festival," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." While Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why the waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared for the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And now we turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 106, and I'll be reading verses 19 through the end of the chapter. "At Horeb they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot that God who saved them, who has done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before them to keep his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the Lord. So he swore to them with uplifted hand that he would make them fall in the wilderness, make their descendants fall among the nations, and scatter them throughout the lands. They yoked themselves to the Baals of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to lifeless gods. They aroused the Lord's anger by their wicked deeds, and a plague broke out among them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was checked. This was credited to him as righteousness for endless generations to come. By the waters of Meribah, they angered the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them, for they rebelled against the Spirit of God, and rash words came from Moses' lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs. They worshiped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to false gods. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves by what they did. By their deeds they prostituted themselves. Therefore the Lord was angry with his people and abhorred his inheritance. He gave them into the hands of the nations, and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected them to their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion, and they wasted away in their sin. Yet he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love he relented. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. And now we turn over to the book of Amos. Today we are reading Amos chapter 3. Hear this word, people of Israel, the word the Lord has spoken against you, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your sins. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Does a lion roar in the thicket when it has no prey? Does it growl in its den when it has caught nothing? Does a bird swoop down to a trap on the ground when no bait is there? Does a trap spring up from the ground if it has not caught anything? When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Proclaim to the fortresses of Ashdod and to the fortresses of Egypt, assemble yourselves in the mountains of Samaria. See the great unrest within her, and the oppression among her people. They do not know how to do right, declares the Lord, who store up in the fortresses what they have plundered and looted. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. An enemy will overrun your land, pull down your strongholds, and plunder your fortresses. This is what the Lord says. As a shepherd rescues from the lion's mouth, only two leg bones or a piece of ear, so will the Israelites living in Samaria be rescued, with only the head of a bed and a piece of fabric from a couch. Hear this and testify against the descendants of Jacob, declares the Lord God Almighty. On the day I punish Israel for her sins, I will destroy the altars of Bethel. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will tear down the winter house along with the summer house. The houses adorned with ivory will be destroyed, and the mansions will be demolished, declares the Lord. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Today is Monday, and so we're going to talk about one of our mission partners, the Philippines Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Dorch and Wayne have both been to this campus to preach and to teach during different spiritual emphasis weeks. And also, I wanted to mention that one of our members, Bob Comfer, who was a missionary to Vietnam and the Philippines for many years, he actually has a tennis court named after him at this seminary. It's inscribed to the Godfather, Bob Comfer, or something like that. That was just a term of endearment that the seminary had for Bob. And so I think that speaks highly of his relationship with the seminary. So if you have some questions, you might go to Bob and he could share more. In considering how we can pray for the seminary, Wayne texted Dr. Mack. His nickname is Mack, but I think his first name is Michael Jonathan. And Dr. Mack's text back, I'm just going to read to you. The seminary is still tight financially because we lost a lot of potential income from guests. Just a side note here, they open the seminary up to weddings and retreats and a lot of different things, and that's how they produced income to pay their professors. So we had to cut back on work days of the support staff. The teaching staff works full-time, but receives only about 80% of their salary. Then he goes on to say that Dr. Kanoy, who is another of the deans at the seminary, is continuously finding ways to augment our income just to barely keep us afloat. So the pandemic has really affected their ability to take in funds. But God is good because despite these challenges, we are still able to do what God wants us to do, train church leaders and workers. Along with praying for their funding, we also need to pray for the students, especially those in Myanmar. Then finally, please pray that our country will recover from this pandemic so that we can go back to our normal operations. And so would you join me in praying for the Philippines Baptist Theological Seminary? And at the end of the prayer, you'll hear on the podcast a compilation of the students singing during the spiritual emphasis week when Wayne went to be with them in 2018. All the different students are from many different nations who come together in the Philippines to be trained theologically. And so they're singing, "Our God is an Awesome God," in all the different languages. And it's a very powerful expression of how God is at work in the world around us. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this partnership with the Philippines Baptist Theological Seminary. We pray, Lord, that you would provide financially for them. Thank you, Father, for the men and women who are training theologically so that they can go back to their home country and teach others about Jesus. Forgive us, Father, for the many times when we fret over things that don't really matter, when brothers and sisters around the world are struggling. We pray that you would provide financially through our church and through others, through different means, Lord, so that this seminary can continue on. Thank you, Lord, for the work of ministry that is going forward, for the training that is being provided, for those who are at work in hard places like Myanmar, that your gospel would continue to go forward even when the government tries to shut it down. We pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done, and that you would bless our brothers and sisters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.